You know, those of you that know me know that I like to take pictures. How many know that about me? All right. I love to take pictures. And, you know, I was actually reading this week some statistics about people taking selfies. And selfies are becoming a whole lot more dangerous. In fact, in the past 18 months, 127 people have actually died taking selfies, and they've taken them, you know, walking off cliffs and trying to get a, you know, a lion or a bear in the background and all that, you know, silly craziness. And, you know, they find themselves dead. But, you know, when a selfie meets a photo bomb, I don't know if there are any statistics on it yet, but I think I've just created a new statistic. You know, Pastor Mike has been telling me for some time now to go to the High Line when you have visitors come in. And over the weekend, we went to the High Line. We brought some friends of ours. We brought them to church on Sunday as well. And we, how many of you have been to the High Line? Anybody? Well, the High Line, it's really beautiful. Highly recommend it. And it's an old train track, elevated portion of New York City. And you go up there and there's just beautiful gardens and flowers. And there's these little, on each side, these little 2-foot walls or these little 2-foot fences so that you don't go off into the, you know, into the shrubbery, into the beautiful flowers that they've created. Well, I saw two older ladies, well into their 70s taking a selfie of themselves. And, you know, I just had this urge to just jump right in and kind of, stand behind them and, kind of getting their picture. I photobomb people a lot. It's kind of like, you know, people have their vices. That's, you know, mine. I kind of just do crazy things. And well, anyway, I got too close to that little fence. And the next thing you know, I took those two old ladies and, I lost my balance and I grabbed hold of them trying to catch myself. And I actually threw them onto the trail rain tracks. And, you know, it was not fun. I mean, it's fun to laugh at now, but I tell you, it actually got a little scary. But I just wanted to share that with you. I've taken a lot of selfies with Pastor Pat on Wave Runners, but this is the first time a selfie met a photo bomb, and it was ugly. All my wife could think of is, why is he throwing those two ladies on the floor? So anyway, I just wanted to share that with you. I know Pastor Mike is probably listening to this as well. So yeah, I finally went to the High Line and, it didn't work out so well for me, but, if you have your Bibles this morning, I know you do, please turn to, First Chronicles chapter 12, verse number 32. First Chronicles chapter 12, verse number 32. And of the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do, the heads of them were 200, and all their brethren were at their commandment. And if you could also just turn to Ephesians chapter 5. I wasn't sure how I was going to start this out tonight, and you'll see why in a moment. But Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 16 says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. You know, what I want to first start by just sharing with you tonight, for those of you, most of you know, and some of you might not, but for over 20 years, I was a New York City fireman. And probably the greatest 20 years of my life. I loved being a fireman. And certainly, I've learned many valuable lessons being a fireman. And those lessons have bled into my life. They've bled into my family. And it's been just an incredible journey that I've been on. And, you know, one of the very first things that I was given when I became a fireman was a probie manual. It was a manual of all the tactics. It was a manual of all of the instructions and all the things that were expected of me. And, you know, that manual actually was very important. It was so important that every single year during inspections, we had annual inspections, the chief would come into quarters. You'd have to get all your gear out, put all your gear out upstairs, lay it all out, And the chief would actually come and inspect all of your gear, make sure it was in good working order, and you had to have that manual with you. My entire 20 years, I was required to have that manual with me. And at any time, the chief could call for it, and I would have to produce that manual. In fact, it was so serious that if I didn't have it, he could actually give me charges, and a fine could be associated, and I could be given charges and get in a whole lot of trouble for not having that manual with me. And, you know, that was a big part of me being a fireman for all those years, sitting around the firehouse, and we just did a lot of talking about what was in that manual and talking about our tactics and how to operate it, different fires and different emergencies that we went to. You know, one of the other big things that we've always talked about that really come to mind, and we'll see as we just kind of dovetail it into what we're talking about tonight, was the medicals. You know, after I became a fireman, I had to pass a company medical, and in fact, just like having that manual, every single year, I would have to go to the medical office and get an examination, get a medical. And that medical would either determine whether I was full duty or light duty. You know, whether I can go back to the firehouse or I'd go sit behind a desk somewhere. And the third thing that was talked about in the kitchen, constantly in the kitchen, at the kitchen in the firehouse, was your retirement and planning for your retirement. And, you know, did you have enough money saved, and what were the best, you know, was it the 457 versus the 401 or all the other options that we had? And, you know, how can you best save and position yourself for your retirement? And, you know, those three things, more than anything else, and there were other things, of course, really, I could just visualize that each and every conversation, they were a very important part of firehouse life. You know, that manual, your annual examination, and your retirement. And, you know, I've been thinking a lot about everything that's going on in this world. And, you know, I think you have to maybe be in a rock not to know that we live in some pretty exciting times as Christians. And, you know, this verse here in First Chronicles kept coming to mind, understanding the times. And, you know, and we're going to see, I didn't know where I was going to start with this. We're actually going to start in this portion, and we're going to come back to it at the end and come back to it. But, you know, all of the time during my entire career as a fireman, those three things were talked about all the time. And, you know, as I was contemplating all this stuff this week and thinking about, you know, what's important and trying to understand my own life, you know, I began to, I was listening I was on YouTube, and I came across a song, and the song was called The Book, The Blood, and The Blessed Hope. And I got excited. You could YouTube it later, a song by The Inspirations, The Book, The Blood, and The Blessed Hope. And you know, one of the greatest things in this whole world is what we've been trying to teach you here for all these many years. When I say we, I'm talking about Pastor Pat and Pastor Mike. I'm just part of this thing, and I don't always get an opportunity to be up here. But one of the things that is so important are the foundations that are being laid week after week, year after year, decade after decade. The pillars that kind of hold this whole place together. And as I read this portion of God's word in First Chronicles about this tribe of Issachar, this tribe that was, and if you could read that chapter, you know, you'll find some interesting things about all of the other tribes and how Issachar was different in that, you know, they weren't David's mighty men. They didn't have all these great talents or abilities. They weren't the biggest in number. In fact, there were 200 of them. And in other tribes, there were even more. But they had a unique ability to understand the times. And certainly, you know, I'm heading toward, you know, what's happening in the world today. But one of the things that really was a tremendous blessing to me is understanding the times of my life and understanding how, you know, I just am a simple guy. I think of a gift that the deans gave us many years ago that still hangs in our kitchen. And, you know, and I think the deans have one as well. And it just says very simply, my kitchen table is here, and it's over on my left shoulder. It says simplify. And you know what? I believe without a shadow of a doubt, the Christian life is a lot simpler than we make it. We complicate it at times. And you know, the book, the blood, and the blessed hope. And you know, when I began to think about my own life growing up in a Christian home with a mom and dad who went through some serious trials in their own marriage, and I'm blessed that they're here tonight. But you know, they got saved when I was just about 6 years old. And you know what? Soon after that, I got saved. They took me to Sunday school. And you know, my whole entire life, and I know that we've got people that have been saved a whole long time, and I know that we've got some new families here. I know that we've got new married couples here. And, you know, I know that we've got people from all different walks of life, different places. Hey, we even got Texas in the house tonight. And, you know, amen for that. I love Texas. But, you know, one of the consistent themes in my life growing up from a small boy was the emphasis placed upon the book, the blood, and the blessed hope. And you know what? When I got married and I stuck around this place long enough that God actually allowed me to find a wife, which is an amazing thing, and I'm a blessed man because of that. You know what? I couldn't wait to teach those same three things, because guys, girls, it boils down to three simple things. Now, yeah, there's a whole lot more that you can, you know, just kind of put as points under each of them. But you know what? Tonight, in this world that we live in, this world that's falling apart at the seams, or your life that maybe is falling apart at the seams, you know, there is a remedy. And the remedy is a book. You know what? There is a covering for your sin. That covering is the blood. And you know what? Just like my retirement, you know what? There is hope for tomorrow. And there is hope for this world beyond what you see on YouTube and behind what you see in television and behind what you see in the newspaper. You know, it's the book, it's the blood, and it's the blessed hope. And you know, if you're maybe just, you know, have small children, or, you know, maybe you're just starting out with child tonight, and you just found out that maybe you're having a baby. You know, I can really recall one of the greatest times of my life, when I found out that my wife was pregnant for the first time. And, you know, if you could turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6, just want to read something in Deuteronomy that I remember reading when my wife got pregnant. Day after day, night after night, you know, I believe that, you know, with each of my children, I did the same thing. You know, I believe that, you know, faith cometh by hearing. And, you know, my purpose here tonight, everybody, is just to really encourage you. I want to encourage you in the scriptures. I want to encourage you with what I know has worked over the years. Because you know what? There is stuff that I've done in my life that absolutely has not worked. And you know, there is stuff in my life that has worked. And you know, while I don't want to always be ready to share the stuff that hasn't worked, because I'm not proud of a lot of it, you know what? But I really am proud of the stuff that I've taken from God's word that I've put into practice, and it has worked. And over these years, I've watched it work in my life. I've watched it work in the lives of my children. I've made mistakes along the way and then put it back into practice again and watched it work again. And you know, it's the greatest thing in the whole world is to watch this book work. And you know, as I remember, my wife was pregnant with our first child. And in Deuteronomy chapter 6, I stood by her belly and I read these words. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto the children, thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thine house and on the gates. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto the fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And you know what? I remember reading this verse not just one time. You know, I mentioned to everybody, I wish you could see the world through my eyes as a fireman going to work for over 20 years, that those three things I spoke to you about, there wasn't a time you didn't go into the kitchen in the firehouse and guys weren't drilling on something. Guys didn't have a tool out practicing on something. Guys weren't talking about their retirement they were talking about their company medicals. And you know what? It was a continual thing, day after day, week after week, you know, year after year. And you know what? That's good advice. You know, that helped me being a fireman all those years. It reinforced principles in my life that made me be a better fireman. Helped me prepare better for my retirement. And you know what? The principle right here in God's word is that we're supposed to be doing this with our family. You know, I love to sit around with my family. I love sitting around opening up God's word. And you know what? I want to give God all the glory here. And I don't want to do a disservice or try to pat myself on the back. But you know what? I thank God for this book that is alive, this book that has allowed me to see it work, and that I have continued to just, with my children, sit around that table all these years later. I mean, I sit around that table and we just talk about God's word. We talk about the Bible. You know, they'll laugh, but I sit around and the very first thing I tell my kids is, you know, I thank you guys for being here. I know a lot of places that you could be and you've chosen to sit here with me with your dad. And you know, they're probably cringing that I'm even telling you that. But you know what? I say that same thing for my son's 19 years old. I've been saying that for 19 years to my kids. You know why? Because God's word says as a parent, that's what we're supposed to be doing. Yes. And you know what? The first principle is the book. And it could be argued that the last principle is the book. But the first principle tonight that we're going to talk about is getting God's word in you, getting God's word in your children. The most important thing in the whole world is finding key ingredients. And you know what? For me, for my family, it's been the book. It's been the blood, and it's been the blessed hope, pointing my children to something. You know, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, it gives us great instruction. But you know, by way of contrast, I actually was reading this morning. If you turn your Bible to Isaiah chapter 66, you know, we can get real sloppy in our Christianity. God is looking for people. Here's what he's looking for. In Isaiah chapter 66, verse number 2, or verse number 1, thus saith the Lord, the heaven is thy throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye built unto me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things hath been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to this poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. You know, God is looking for men and women that tremble at his word. God is looking for people that understand that this book upon the hearer has a great effect upon the life, and not just your life, but everybody else's life. But you know, unfortunately, we get too casual with God's word. We just, you know, we have it and we're thankful that we have it. But you know, you can get sloppy with God's word. And I've read this before, but it just had an impact on me today. In verse number 3 in chapter 66, it says, he that killeth an ox as if he slew a man. He that sacrificeth a lamb as if he cut off a dog's neck. He that offereth an oblation as if he offered swine's blood. He that burneth incense as if he blessed an idol. Guys, you could be worshiping your own way and getting it wrong every single time. You could be giving off incense to God that is making God sick. And you know what? You can get sloppy with God's word. Look what it says. Yea, they have chosen their own ways, and their soul delighteth in abomination. And it goes on to say they've chosen their own ways, and God has chosen to give them delusions. You know, we talk about this all the time. Pastor Pat says it all the time. Life is a choice. What we're doing is making choices tonight. You guys chose to be here tonight. And you know what? Guess when you put God's word into effect and give it its proper place and tremble at his word, it'll have an effect on your life. You know, many people say we're old-fashioned, we're archaic. You know, and when I think about that, you know, some people have even said that we're divisive because we've chosen, you know, to use a King James Bible. You know, let me tell you, you know, the greatest thing in the whole world when I came to our church in 1990 was finding out that I had a book that I could trust. It changed everything about my life. And you know what? I'm thankful. There are a lot of good, godly people out there. But you know, I'm thankful that God showed me the truth of His Word, that we have got a book that we could trust. And you know, we could just open it up and know that God, what God says is true. And you know, I give a lot of illustrations that, you know, from my days being a fireman. And you know, the Bible says in Psalm 119, the entrance of thy word giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. You know, the old joke being a fireman is we're not the brightest people in the world. You know, while everybody is running, you know, out, we're running in. And, you know, and that's true. But the truth is this, I'm a simple guy and I need light in my life. I need clarity in my life. And, you know, I was telling our young people on Friday night that, you know, we used a lot of tools being a fireman. And we, one of the things that we were taught is that when you're climbing up a ladder into a structure that's on fire and you're climbing into a window where you can't see the other side, you take that tool with smoke billowing over your head and you take that tool in that darkness and you know what you feel for? You feel to make sure that there's a floor on the other side of that window. And you know what? The Bible says the entrance of thy word giveth light. And you know what? So many of God's people fall into pitfalls, they fall into traps, they fall into snares, because they don't realize they got a book that is a tool that you could prove, that you got a book that you could use that'll keep you from danger, that you got a book that will just, you know, just be that light. Man, I have been in some dark places. I mean, my son just was in a, spent some time in a cave for 3-4 hours in upstate New York, and he was telling me it was as if your eyes were literally gone from your head. I've been in the darkness of night. I've been lost in fires, looking for that light at the end of a, you know, literally at the end of the hallway, so that I can kind of navigate my way out. I mean, there's nothing more scary or terrifying than not having light. And you know what? I'm happy to tell you tonight that this book is a light unto our feet. And you know what? The entrance of thy word giveth light and understanding unto the simple. And you know, I got it. It's a simple message tonight. The book, the blood, and the blessed hope. A simple message for a simple guy. But I can tell you, and I'm here to give testimony tonight, these are the three things that have helped me navigate, you know, this life. Is my life as a fireman, keeping my testimony. It helped me navigate my life, you know, getting married, having children. And you know what? I'm here to give testimony tonight. And maybe this is more of me preaching or teaching tonight, but just giving a testimony tonight that this book works when you put it into action. And it's a simple, old-fashioned message, but I want everybody to know that God's word is perfect. In Proverbs chapter 30, verse number 5, it says, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. The second thing I want you to know, that God's word is complete. In the second, in chapter 30, verse number 6, God's word says, add not thou unto His words, lest He reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. Guys, you know what? We've got all the Bible that we're ever going to need. We don't need another chapter. We don't need another word. We don't need another verse. We don't need, you know, anybody to clarify things. You know, what we've got is complete. And you know how I know it's complete? Not because of the external evidences. And there's a lot of those, and we study those in Bible Institute. But the Bible has plenty to say about itself, that it's a perfect book, that it's complete. And you know what? Where is that book if it's not a King James Bible? Fourthly, the Word of God is totally sufficient. If you have your Bible, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 16 and 17. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Guys, we have a book that is sufficient. In Peter, it says that he's given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Guys, we've got it all right here. Everything that you could ever need for instruction in righteousness is right here. And you know, it has a, you know what type of work it does in you? It does a work. It says that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished. Now, if you've got a Bible that says thoroughly, and I know, and there are reasons that that's possible, you know, the right word is thoroughly. You know what? Religion works from the outside in. You know, when I get my car washed, you know, they either wash the outside, or, you know, when I have an extra few bucks, I let them do both. They let them do the outside, and I let them do the inside. You know what? When they do the inside, my car feels a whole lot cleaner from the inside out. And you know what? God wants to do a work in the life of his children from the inside out. And that's how the man of God is furnished. He's furnished thoroughly from the inside out. And the fifth thing I want to show you is that the word of God will accomplish exactly what it promises. Turn to Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. You know, Pastor Pat has been saying for the last couple of weeks, and I love those messages and those principles that he's been sharing. They've been a real blessing to me. But you know, God's word said it, and that settles it. I mean, man, that is one of the most exciting principles that you could ever learn. You know, whether you agree with it or not, God said it, and that settles it. And you know, in God's word, it says, "Forever thy word is settled in the heavens." It's not up for debate. It's not up for your opinion. And you know what? God is allowing his word to be unfolded right before our very eyes. You know, one of the second point is the blood. First point is the book. The book, guys, is all you'll ever need. It's all you'll ever need to raise your family, have a career, learn how to navigate your way through that career, how to navigate your way through this world. But you know, one of the second things that was a very big deal in my growing up, and I made it a very big deal with my children and my family, was this thing of the blood. You know, Christianity, I mean, it could have been and has been said, you know, it's a bloody religion. In fact, Voltaire, the famous French historian and philosopher, he actually said Christianity is the most ridiculous, the most absurd, and bloody religion that ever infected the world. Guys, that was Voltaire. I'm sure he thinks a lot differently now about those words and wish he could take them back, but he can't. You know, we got a hymn book that is full of songs about the blood. We sing about nothing but the blood. Are you washed in the blood? Oh, the blood of Jesus. There is power, power, wonder-working power, right in the precious blood of the Lamb. Guys, we will always make a big deal about the blood in this place. And you know what? I've always made a big deal about the blood in my family. You know, if you turn to Leviticus 17:11, you know, one of the first times that we read about the effect upon the blood upon the human race, it says in Leviticus 17:11, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul." Do you realize how precious the blood of Jesus Christ is? Do you take the blood of Jesus Christ for granted? Do you have a covering for your sin? And I'm sure that most of you, if you're saved tonight, would say yes, and that covering is the precious blood of Jesus. 1 Peter 1:19, and you could turn there. It says in 1 Peter 1:19, and I'm trying to go slow because my daughter keeps telling me, her advice to me tonight was, Daddy, every time you say the verse, you never give people a chance to get there. So 1 Peter 1:19. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot, you could not be right before God whether or not the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on the cross. It would not be possible. How important is the blood? Very important. Do we make a big deal about the blood? Absolutely. Do we at times not give the blood its proper significance and its proper, allow it to have its proper effect on our lives? You bet. And that's an unfortunate truth among God's people, that they just sing about the blood without giving it a second thought. You know, they know a little bit about the blood without realizing the consequences that it had and continues to have in your life. You know, that second part, the blood, kind of reminded me of being a fireman. I talked about our examination. And we went for company medicals every year. And during those company medicals, at the end of the medical, you'd either get your paper, it needed to be stamped, you know, full duty or light duty. And the tragedy of it was, there's not a fireman in the city of New York, I would say, that ever wanted to be on light duty for the most part. Some have been forced to over the years. Why? Because most firemen realized that their calling in life was, you know, to be a fireman. They actually feel that it's a calling, and so many guys just love being a fireman, and I was one of those guys. I just loved being a fireman. I loved everything about it. And I would have dreaded the day that I ever got light duty. In fact, 20 years as a fireman, I never went light duty, not one time in that entire 20 years. I mean, I wanted to be full duty. I wanted to do what I was called to do, not sit behind a desk. And, you know, here's the thing, the thought. You know, are you a light duty or a full duty Christian? And by that, I mean this. You know, if I were to ever have gone on light duty as a fireman, you know, I still would have been a fireman, but I would have not been doing what I knew I was designed to do. And, you know, the Bible tells us over and over again to examine ourselves. In fact, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 5. It says in 2 Corinthians 13, 5, it says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. You know, this portion of God's word is not talking about are you saved. It's like work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, not work for your salvation. You know, we're supposed to examine ourselves to see if we are in the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. And you know, there are many firemen that are sitting light duty that should be full duty and not able to do what they're called to do, because they live a life of unconfessed sin. Now, the moment that you got saved, Jesus Christ paid for all of your sins with his blood, past, present, and future. Okay? And you know what? When you're on light duty, you are still a fireman. But you know, there are many of us that live with unconfessed sin. And when you live with unconfessed sin, you are a useless fireman sitting on light duty, and there was a fire breaks out. You can't do a thing because you don't have the gear, the tools, or anything to, you know, or do what you were designed to do and what you've been trained to do. And you know, many of God's people live with unconfessed sin. Another place that tells us, I just want to briefly mention this. Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Another place that tells us that we're supposed to examine ourselves is around the Lord's table. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 26, talks all about how we're supposed to, our attitude, our heart, what it's supposed to be like. And you know, we make a big deal at the Lord's table. And one of the things, you know, that I've often just wondered and asked the Lord, and I don't know the answers and certainly don't want to, you know, ever judge anybody, but You know, one of the most important things that we do, in fact, God only gave us two things that were important to him. He said, get baptized, not because it saves you or anything, but because it's an act of obedience. And he gave the Lord's table where you remember what he did for you on the cross. You know, and I don't know about you, but my commander only asked for two things. And I want to give it to him. I want to make that an important. That's why we, and you've heard it so many times, we make an important part of what we do here is remembering what Jesus Christ did on the cross. But, you know, there are consequences for having unconfessed sin. You know, when you don't examine yourself, you know, the Lord's table should be a great time of examination. In verse 26, it says, "For often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come." Great time of remembrance. "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself." And then it says in verse number 30, "For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." Guys, when we get around the Lord's table, it's a wonderful time. It's a time that another opportunity that God gives us to examine ourselves. You know, guys, the book, it's important. The blood, it's very important. And you should be examining, and I should be examining my life. And not only us, but if you're a mom or a dad, these are things that you need to be sharing with your children. You know, I was thinking this week in Job chapter 1, verse number 5, you read about a man named Job, and you can look at it if you want. It says, "And it was so in Job 1, 5, that when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually." Now, let me just say this. I cannot offer sacrifices on behalf of my children or any of you. If I could, I would. But I can point to you the one who is the true sacrifice, the ultimate sacrifice, the one that shed his blood once and for all, who offers forgiveness of sins, past, present, and future, the moment that you trust him. And I can tell you this, that, and my children know this is true, I go into their rooms at nighttime, and every night, and I grab hold of them, and I pray with them. And you know what I say to them? I say, "Guys, you know, don't go to bed with unconfessed sin. You know, examine yourself before you go to sleep and ask God, did I offend you today? Was I careful with what I listened to? Was I careful with what I looked at? Was I careful how I spoke?" Guys, these are things that are important ingredients, and they're simple. The book, the blood. Guys, we need to, like the children of Issachar, have understanding of the times. And you know what? The more life gets complicated, the simpler Christianity really should become. And I'm looking forward to it very soon, maybe getting even really simple, even simpler. Don't miss out on fellowship because of unconfessed sin. If you read in 1 John chapter 1, verse number 9, you know, we read that chapter, and that's a chapter that, you know, starts out by talking to, you know, people that are Christians. Wow, 8:23. Okay. People that are Christians, people that knew the Lord. And you know what? God's word says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And you know what? That is not just a verse that you give somebody the moment that they get saved and you share it with them. And here it is. But it's also a verse that you need to realize that it applies to your life if you want fellowship. Because in that first chapter in 1 John, it talks about how you have fellowship. And then it ends with those verses of confession. And you know what? We make a big deal about the blood. We make a big deal about the blood because I want to have sweet fellowship with the Lord. And the only way that you're going to have the right fellowship with God is by confessing. Not your every sin, you couldn't do that. I thank God that last part of that verse says that he will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Even the stuff that you don't know about. Remember Pastor Mel saying that all the time. If you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us your sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I'm going to turn to one last verse. The hour is getting late, but I want to make a couple of closing remarks and speed right through to the conclusion. Turn your Bible to Titus chapter 2, verse number 13. We've talked tonight about the book. We've talked about the blood. And now we're going to talk just for a minute about the blessed hope. And I hope you understand that these were three things that made a big impact upon my life as a young boy. These were big areas of my life that have changed everything about my walk, my family. And the last one, kind of like the retirement of being a fireman, of which I now have gotten to enjoy and still enjoying retirement. It was 5 years last week. Is the blessed hope. Blessed hope, a whole lot more exciting than being retired as a New York City fireman. And that's pretty good. But in Titus 2:13, it says, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm going to make a buzz line right for the end here, because I'm really excited about this last part. And this last part is what we got looking into 2 Chronicles, into the children of Issachar, who they understood the times that they lived in. They were, you know, if you read the whole chapter, they were just getting ready for a new king, David, and they realized that, you know, that Saul was transitioning out and David was transitioning in. But, you know, they paid attention and kept their ear to the ground. And guys, listen, I don't know where you've been or I don't know where I've been, but, you know, time has never been shorter. And, you know, as a young boy, I watched that movie Thief in the Night. You know, one of the very first things you find out when you get saved is that, you know, Jesus didn't save you, but he's going to come and he's going to come back for you one day and take you home to heaven. Guys, that is the hope that we have. That is the hope that we're, you know, that we have because of the book and because of the blood. We're able to have a blessed hope. And here's what I want you to think about. Listen to a guy this week. Listen to an unsaved man on the radio talk about the fact that there is a lot happening in this world. In fact, there's more happening in this world than I have time to go into right now. Certainly, for those that are aware of or listening to the news, and listen, I get that, you know, not all the news is good and that, but you know what? If you study the history of Israel, you're studying a whole lot of news stories. And, you know, I think there's a time and a place for news as long as you got a Bible right alongside to what's happening and comparing it, right? I mean, all you need is this book, and you'll know exactly where you're at in history. But there are some really exciting things happening in this world, right? May 14th, just the other day, Israel celebrated 70 years as a nation. I mean, guys, that is just so exciting. And, you know, we also had the distinct honor of watching the U.S. Embassy get moved from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, the capital of Israel. And guys, if this stuff doesn't excite you, if it doesn't move you even a little bit, then honestly, you have to even ask yourself, are you saved? Has there been a book in your life? Is the blood truly the covering for your sin? And here's why I say that. I mean, listen, whether you like Donald Trump or not, okay? You know what? We have this Western idea in our minds that leadership, you know, has got to look a certain way. Kind of almost flowery, like our churches and stuff. And American Christianity here in the West is not so great. But you know what? God has always used men to accomplish his will. And here's what I'm saying on this. If you are not standing in awe at what's happening around this world, because of the decisions that one man in Washington is making, then you're not understanding the magnitude of the situation. And I was listening to this guy talk about this whole situation going on in the world. And this man is an unsaved Jew, and he does not know the Lord, but he talks, this man I was listening to on the radio, he talks about the scriptures, and he loves to talk about the Bible. doesn't even have a relationship with God, has no covering for his sin. But you know what he's been saying for the last couple of weeks? Every time I listen to him, he keeps talking about Israel and all the things that all of us have been hearing from this pulpit about the history of Israel and against all odds, how God, you know, after thousands of years, brought them back to the nation of Israel and gave them a land, made them a people, gave them a language. That he said these exact words, that what's happening right now is of biblical proportion. That we've never seen anything like this happen before. And he said what's happening now, and he's not the only one. Many in Israel have also said that what's happening is so big, the only thing that can be compared to it are the amazing stories in this Bible. Now think about that. Think about the crossings of the Red Sea. Think about, you know, the flood. Think about all the miracles that were done in this book. Think about the lives that were, you know, brought back to life at the word. And then when God allowed men to just rise from the dead. And right now, what's happening in Israel is of biblical proportion. And this is being said by the unsaved world, by people that don't have a spirit inside them that has been born again. So here's the thing that I just want you to think about. I had a whole lot more to say tonight. But if the world is recognizing that something bigger than them is happening, how should we respond? If we're sitting here tonight and we hear these stories in the news and they have no effect on us, maybe it's because we're not reading the stories in this Bible that are coming true right before your very eyes. Guys, we live in the most exciting time in all of history. You know, I joked with the young people on Friday night. I said, guys, you know, this is not Old Testament times. This is not New Testament times. This is not even the 1980s. And I love the 1980s. But, you know, we are right at the very end of history. We are right at the very climax of everything God has ever wanted to do. And we are witnesses of it, of the majesty and of the splendor and of the glory that's about to be revealed to this whole world. And you know what? Jerusalem is God's glory. And that city, and you know what? Anybody that treats Israel that well, treats Jerusalem that way, God is going to bless. You know, they've already made a comparison to King Cyrus. And you can read in Isaiah chapter 25 that King Cyrus, you know what? He allowed the Jewish people to come back out of Babylonian captivity so they could rebuild the temple. Guys, do you realize that they have made a coin with King Cyrus? And I know to some of you chagrin, Donald Trump's face on it as well. And you know what the purpose of selling that coin is? So they could raise the funds to rebuild the temple. Guys, what we are witnessing is absolutely incredible. And the simple question that I have is, what are we doing with the book that God gave us? What are we doing with his blood that he shed for us? And boy, I've been waiting for this day a long time. And if he comes before I take a step off of this pulpit, you know, that's good enough for me. I'm done. But you know what? You know, we read in Ephesians chapter 5, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Our time is short. And my prayer for my own life is, Lord, how can I redeem the time? How can I best use the time that I have left so that I could bring glory and honor to your name? So tonight I'm going to stop right there. Just a simple message. The book, the blood, and the blessed hope. Heavenly Father,